This is your host, Coach Fav, and I'm speaking on behalf of CasinosUSA.bet. Welcome to our podcast for the recreational gambler. Episode 3 is entitled Shotguns and Golf Bags, and I'm thinking about something that happened 10 years ago. This past weekend, my son and daughter-in-law were in Las Vegas celebrating 10 years of their marriage. And in fact, they flew out with a group of friends to celebrate. I'm sure they had fun. So I was thinking about their marriage reception at Mandalay Bay and what happened to me that I will never forget. My family and a large group of our friends were planning on flying out of Pittsburgh to go to Las Vegas for the wedding, but not me. My wife's plan was that I would drive across the country by myself to Las Vegas in our Toyota van, so I would be ahead of everyone else, leaving 4 days ahead of time. On board that van was the bride's dress and my wife's dress. Ooh, the groom's mom. I also had 6 bags of my friend's golf clubs packed in the van, as they were all flying to Las Vegas with their wives and said, hey, wouldn't it be easier if you just took our bags? So I thought, yeah, I can do that. And I decided I would pack a loaded shotgun in my golf bag for protection. Well, the trip across the United States was uneventful. You know, I stopped in casinos a couple nights, lost some money, won some money, and I got it to Las Vegas fine, checked into Mandalay Bay. And wouldn't you know it, I forgot all about that shotgun in that golf bag. So I was waiting for my family and wife to arrive. And when they did, the guy said, hey, they had made reservations at a country club outside of Las Vegas, a very exclusive one. Somebody had connections in our party. So we had a group of 8, 6 friends, add me, and then somebody who was a total stranger that was golfing by themselves, and the club said we had to take him, you know, as part of our group. So we agreed. Well, this club is known for great service, and they unloaded the golf bags from my van. The van was parked in front of one of the major windows, you know, where people were having breakfast. So I noticed that they stopped taking the bags out, and the golf concierge came over to me and said, what do you gentlemen do? And I just looked at him strangely and said, why would you ask a question like that? And then he looked straight into my eyes and said, maybe because there's a loaded shotgun in one of the golf bags? Well, most of us had Italian surnames, and he must have thought that we were hitmen and we were coming to the country club to shoot somebody on the golf course. Oh, my goodness. So I told him why the shotgun was in the golf bag, and I wasn't sure that he believed me. But I noticed that the rangers at the golf club followed us all through all 18 holes. Oh, my goodness. How stupid could I be? And the answer is, of course, pretty stupid. Goodness gracious. Shotguns and golf bags. You might be thinking, like, why would you take a shotgun? Why not a handgun? Well, for those of you that do travel, you need a federal license to take handguns across state lines, which you can get. It's just expensive. I didn't want to do that. But you can take a shotgun across all state lines in the United States without an issue. For those of you who follow CasinosUSA.bet, you know that this episode promises our listeners and our readers on site a review of Maryland Live. Well, before we actually got to Maryland Live, through social media, our Facebook page, CasinosUSA, we got a response from Kathy, who lives just a few miles from the casino. And she writes, I like Maryland Live. Although I've been there just a handful of times, it is very clean. Gaming is fun, especially when you win. And they have quite a few restaurants at the casino. And Arundel Mills Outlet Mall was right there as well. So there's plenty of shopping after the big wins. The area also has a lot of hotels, so everything is right at your fingertips. Well, thanks, Kathy, for the comment. And actually, when we read it, we were all the more excited to get there. So let's take a short break, and we'll be talking about slot machines. So what about slot machines? Anyone who's been with us since our startup most likely appreciates that we do not encourage anyone to gamble, or if they do so, to understand that the casino has the advantage in every table game and every slot machine in the place. So over the long haul, the casino will always win. But in short play, a few hours or just a few minutes, the casino can also lose. In slot machines, the win-loss ratio is dictated by a computer chip, often referred to as the random number generator. So then the player must be careful not to have too high of an expectation about winning, because most often they'll be disappointed. Yet by state law, any state, if it has legalized gambling, slot machines cannot win 100% of the time. And so when we play a slot machine, what we're doing is hoping that the time we're playing is the right time to be playing. And add to that, if the machine has an entertainment value for us, then all the better. To learn more about slots, consider purchasing college textbooks by Tony Lucas. Tony's a professor at the Willis E. Harris College of Hotel Administration at the University of Nevada, Las Vegas. In short, UNLV. Professor Lucas is an expert in slot machine management. In a recent article in the Tribune Review, which was a column written by Mark Grutz, it points out that Tony Lucas was at one time the financial operations analyst for Harris and the MGM Grand Casinos. Professor Lucas says that a bunch of people put money into the slot machine and it pays out only to a few. So understand that slot machines have only a few winners and many, many losers. And that doesn't mean that we are saying you should never play the slots. Besides the entertainment value, slots offer a chance for a big win with just a small investment, sometimes as low as 30 cents a spin, or even lower on some machines. Just understand that a lot of 30-cent pulls can add up to big losses over the hours at the end of the evening. So have a concrete loss limit fixed in your mind and the discipline to stop when you reach it. If I had $100 for slot play, I would put $20 in a machine that offers a big payout. Maybe I'd only have four pulls at a $5 machine a pull. The other $80 I would use to play video poker, where I believe I have more of a chance of winning. Yet I do have some great memories with those $5 pulls on a Monte Carlo machine or a Wheel of Fortune. It's all random chance, of course, but it's still a thrill when you hit for several hundred dollars on that spinning wheel at the top of the machine. I have also been into community Monopoly machines, and I'm going to admit, I enjoy playing those machines, especially with my wife. So the entertainment value is there, and for me, in slots, more so in video poker, but I do enjoy other machines also. If we break even with Casinos USA gambling at a casino, for us, we are happy. As Professor Tony Lucas explains, most people lose at casinos. Do not believe those who say they always win. I have been a winner and sometimes finished up on the year come December 31st, but I have lost as well. I understand that losing is just part of enjoying participating in the casino gaming culture. It's a hobby, Jackson. Keep this perspective and you enjoy casinos a little more. Do you remember the powerful final words of the Pentagon computer in the movie War Games? After playing tic-tac-toe, the computer realized that the only way to win is not to play. Of course, the computer was referring to all-out thermonuclear war, but that logic holds true for casinos also. The only way never to lose is not to play. But if you do play, there will be times that you will win and maybe more times that you will lose. Just accept this. Learn as much as you can about casinos and the slots and table games that they offer without destroying the fun of playing. But never lose money that you can just cannot afford to lose. And for a little variety, I want to talk next about making a transition to a table game. I know some people are very much afraid to play table games because they're card-based and they don't want to do something stupid or dumb at the table. But we can talk about how to get around that. So just a moment, we'll be right back. Some recreational gamblers play slots exclusively, and we feel that one reason might be that they fear table games because they're afraid that their decision in a card game will affect other people at the table, which is true in some card table games, for example, blackjack. Not playing with a solid blackjack strategy means that you take a card when you should not, or you do not take a card when you should. I once lost a large bet at a blackjack table because a lady next to me stood pat with a 14. I then took a card, which would have been her card, because I had 16. The card I drew was a 6, which busted me. And it would have been a 20 for her. And so it goes. And by the way, the next card drawn after my 6 draw was a 4, which would have given me 20. Ouch. So if you want to try a card-based table game, I'm suggesting trying mini baccarat. First, remember the game is pronounced baccarat, not baccarat. In this game, tens and face cards have no value. Call them a 0 if you will. Number cards of any suit are what they are. A 6 of diamonds is a 6. A 6 of spades is a 6. What suit is not important. An ace is worth 1. Players in this game do not handle the cards. At the table, there are 3 ways to bet, basically. The player can put a chip on the player's circle or the banker's circle, and that's in front of each seat. There's also a tie circle to the side. The banker and the player circles pay 1-to-1. So, for example, if you bet $10, you win or lose $10. The tie circle pays 8-to-1, but it's considered a long shot bet. Yeah, you can bet the tie and place a larger bet on the player or banker at the same time. But the important part is nothing that you do in baccarat affects anyone else at the table. Your choice is a little like deciding to bet black or red in roulette. However, in baccarat, if there is a tie between the banker and the player, it's a push, and you don't lose your money. The game begins after the bets are made. The dealer has 2 squares or 2 circles in front of her. She deals 2 cards to the banker square and 2 cards to the player square. The object of the game is to get to 9 or be closer than the other. For example, if you bet player and your 2 cards are a face card and an 8, and the banker cards total a 7, the player bet wins. But here's the rub. There's a 3rd card dealt if the banker or player total is less than a certain total. And you don't need to know this rule because the dealer is the one who puts out the 3rd card. If you want to understand this 3rd card rule, just check out the rules of the game, and that's easy to do on a casino website. Or better yet, listen to the You Can Bet on That podcast titled Baccarat. Dr. Mike and Mark Duvall always give an easy, understanding audio explanation of card-based games, much better than I do. But when I began to play baccarat years ago, I reviewed these 3rd card rules often. But then I came to see that the game is going to be dealt the way it should, so I stopped even thinking about the 3rd call rules. The rules slightly favor the banker bet, so the casino charges you a 5% commission, and the dealer keeps track of what you owe because a banker wins. You don't have to pay this after each win. You can pay this when you cash out or intermittently throughout the game. If I'm playing banker and win on it, I wait till my commission gets to $5, then I pay the dealer between games. The player winning bet never pays a commission. So if you bet the player, there's no commission. The casino edge on baccarat is very low. And, you know, many experts will argue that this is the best game in a casino, and that's why so many millionaires play it. For whatever reason, this is the game in the Pacific Rim countries. I consider baccarat to be a game of streaks. So say I was at a $10 table. Once I hit, I would make my next bet $12, not $10. If I hit again for $12, then I would have to make a decision. I'm up $22, so I could lose a $15 bet and still be in the positive, or I could return to the table minimum of $10 on my next bet. Remember that I can bet player one time and the next time move to the banker in the next deal. For me, the excitement of the game is twofold, deciding to put my chips on player and banker, and also deciding on how much to bet each game. The table has an electronic scoreboard that keeps the history of the game for an entire shoe. Banker, player, 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 banker. This record may influence your decisions, but truthfully, it has nothing to do with whether the banker or the player will win the next hand. My wife chooses player or banker on her first bet and stays with it the same bet for the entire shoe. Generally, she'll be up $40 or so or down $40 or so after 30 or 40 minutes. This is a slow game, and nearly a minute may pass between each hand dealt if the table has 5 or 6 people playing. You know, after each game, the dealer takes the losing chips and pays the winning chips, and then someone might pay the commission on the winning banker bets, and that takes 15 seconds or so. So if you have been devoted to just slot machines but want to try a table game, Mini Baccarat might be a game that will introduce you to the thrill of card-based table games. And it's also a game that gives you a great chance to win, as it has a very low casino edge. Baccarat is also a social game, as players generally speak to one another at the table. You know, they might say, hey, you were right. One might say, hey, it's time for the player to win. Baccarat is a game where your bet does not influence anyone else. You cannot make the mistake of playing a poor strategy, as often happens, as I mentioned, at a crowded blackjack table. Even at a $5 minimum table, it's not unusual to see a player suddenly push $100 in chips to the banker or player betting circle. So that ups our suspense a little, even if it's not your bet. Give this game a try. It's a good choice for all gamblers. Let's see if you get this. If you have 9 and 9, whether it's a banker or player bet, your score is 8. No scores are higher than 9. One of the long-running Vegas podcasts, several hundred episodes, is titled 360 Vegas. In some ways, the experience of becoming an involved listener to 360 Vegas is akin to becoming addicted to soaps on TV, such as the old Guiding Light or Days of Our Lives. The history of this podcast is filled with drama. Initially, the founder was Mark, and his co-host was Brian. These two go back to high school and are lifelong friends. They had been to Las Vegas together in their younger years, and they both got the Vegas bug bad. However, Brian ended up working for Disney and living in Florida, and then became married with children. And although the podcast went on with Brian on board, Brian's Vegas trips were not as frequent as Mark, who lived in Chicago with his wife. Brian seldom mentioned his wife. Mark almost always mentioned his wife, Karen. Suddenly, but not so unexpectedly for me, Brian withdrew from the podcast. And to Mark's credit, he continues to speak so respectfully of his friend. The drama I refer to, I won't review that, but now the podcast is as solid as can be. Mark made his wife, Karen, his co-host. They come across as a young power couple. Both are intelligent and articulate. In fact, Mark is the most passionate person I have ever heard when it comes to speaking about Las Vegas. And although he and Karen now live in Memphis, not Chicago, Mark has explored Vegas history and, for my money, knows the Las Vegas Strip as well or better than any other Las Vegas aficionado. Although as a listener, his favorites may not be your favorites or my favorites, his passion for Las Vegas is contagious. This passion is balanced by Karen, who is more of a realist and is willing to admit that she enjoys vacations away from Las Vegas, sometimes even more than being on the Strip. But I'm not done yet. Mark is so passionate that 3 years ago he began to arrange vacations, 360 Vegas for vacations for his listeners. And Karen and Mark hosted these vacations. The concept worked, and more of his listeners wanted to make the scene with this couple. Mark creates an agenda, and his vacation crowd picks and chooses what they will enjoy in the Strip with Mark and Karen. Mark brought in a third host, and in my Italian tradition, I will call him Tony the Lawyer from the Midwest. The humor on the show is now based on the sarcastic, sometimes sardonic, comments of Mark and Tony the Lawyer. Karen reins them both in, and the usual interesting narrative advances. The narrative is so often about Las Vegas news and Mark's reaction to it, and just as often about national news or a digression into music, food, travel, and politics. So be it. Be aware that Mark's politics are to the left of Ho Chi Minh, but that's his choice. Anyone who listens to 360 Vegas will glean information about Las Vegas that they did not know before. Listeners will either embrace or shudder at the digressions. The way I would tell you, it's sort of like sitting at a bar with your buddies and discussing Las Vegas or Phil Ruffin or Steve Wynn one moment, and then in the next moment saying, does God exist? Or something about a black hole in space? For me, I love it. When discussion sometimes goes south on me, I just wait it out until I get back on topic. My team in its entirety loves their restaurant reviews. Karen has exquisite taste, my wife reminds me. And Mark is beginning to cowboy up and try new food offerings. Mark openly admits that he has issues with food and its textures. Tony the lawyer is generally happy with any place that serves decent bourbon. He's a lawyer, why not? Tony also digs the cigar bar scene. And I do too, so I enjoy his views on these places. But I smoke one cigar a month and try to make that cigar bar experience. I recommend this podcast with great enthusiasm and give it 5 chips, the highest rating that Mark uses. The only negative is that intoxication is something that Mark and Tony seem to enjoy, at least in their Vegas tells. For me, after spending close to $800 or a little less or more to fly my wife and I to Las Vegas, I do not want to wake up sick in a Las Vegas suite because I overdid it. I can overdo it right here in my hometown by walking a few blocks to the Elks Club. That would save me a lot of money on airplane tickets. But look, I understand. People drink in Vegas. My wife and my buddies are just a little more careful not to drink so much. In Pittsburgh culture, drinking is cool. Being drunk is stupid. Hey, the East is a conservative place. Nonetheless, I challenge any listener to find a podcast with a host who loves Las Vegas as much as Mark. Now a short break and we'll be right back. We asked on our last podcast if listeners would rather go to a casino to gamble alone or with others. Hey, we were pleased. We had 39 email responses. 28 said they most often go with others. 2 said they do go with others, but they drive alone because that way they can leave when they want. And I thought that was a good point. 9 said they always gamble alone. We also asked, do you dress up to visit a casino on a weekend evening, you know, Friday or Saturday? And overwhelmingly, 34 said they did. And 5 said they dress informally anytime. So that takes care of those questions and interesting conversation through the email. So the big days came and we entered Maryland Live in Hanover, Maryland. And we realized immediately why Strictly Slots Magazine, that's Strictly Slots Magazine, listed Maryland Live as one of America's top 15 casinos. Maryland Live has well over 4,000 slot machines, including electronic table games. 200 of the slot machines are new titles. That's impressive. The vastness of the place reminds me of Caesars on the Strip. So Maryland Live for us was an amazing casino thousands of miles away from Las Vegas. They have 200 tables, and of that 200, 52 are poker tables. I don't know if I saw every table game, but I saw Baccarat, Blackjack, 3-card poker, 4-card poker, Texas Hold'em, and Mississippi Stud. And I was very pleased to find out they offered a fortune pie-gal poker with 2 side bets. They had an envy bet and a long-shot progressive bet. There are so many slot machines in this place that we would recommend that a slot player walk the entire casino, maybe twice, to see all the offerings before you hunker down to play. The craps pit, where I spent most of my time, had 8 craps tables. And I started to play about 10 a.m. each day during our stay. 2 tables were always open, and there were people at them. It was crowded. And by noon, a 3rd table was open. Truly, this dense population of this part of Maryland keeps this casino rolling. Maryland Live is not a casino resort, but it does partner with some nearby hotels. The Aloft and the Element are right at Arundel Mills, and just a few blocks down the street, The Hotel. Anyone interested in one of these partner hotels can find a link to these hotels on the Maryland Live website. All 3 have casino packages and rates. And we'll be putting some pictures of Maryland Live on our website, casinosusa.bet. I had 4 days there and survived some early losses in craps to come out a bit ahead, sort of a close call. I found that crap dealers were polite and they knew the game. I didn't have any rookies at the tables where I was playing. One dealer actually remarked to me, "You're betting like Jimmy the Greek," you know, which I was most of the time. There is a Ram's Head bar in the center of the place that jumps later in the evening with live entertainment. There's also an R bar that offers 9-6 video poker. I do want to tell you, though, that drinks are not comped in Maryland, at least at Maryland Live. And so maybe the 9-6 video poker is because you have to drink to play. At least they're saying that if somebody wants to play and you're not drinking, they're going to ask you to move. But still, 9-6 is nice to find. The highways to the place, if you're not familiar with this Maryland area, they're very, very nice, but they're busy. Again, population density. The communities that surround Maryland Live are upscale. The Hanover community, Glen Burnie, are two of them. But recently, Columbia, Maryland was named, believe it or not, by several travel magazines as the nicest place in America to live. So we decided to spend a day there, and we, not staying overnight, but visiting downtown. And the downtown, you know, has a nice lake that you can enjoy walking around, etc. So we have pictures of Columbia and what we found there. Impressive community. Whether it's the best place in America to live, of course, that's rather subjective. But it's a very clean city of 120,000 with dozens and dozens of parks. So I would say when you have 10 civic swimming pools, that alone is something. So I would recommend coming to Maryland Live, particularly staying in this area, if you enjoy casinos and you also want to travel to the nation's capital, which is just 30 minutes away. With the fall leaves coming, consider making a late September, early October trip. I think you'll truly enjoy it. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you in 2 weeks.